Welcome to the Love Your Life series. This is Stephanie Gunning. I'm your host. This is the first of four events during the month of February, and I'm so excited to be here with Cloris Kiley Stock, MBA. She is a coach, blogger, and radio show host from Simsbury, Connecticut, who focuses on the inner power that each of us has to manifest an extraordinary life. A sought-after lecturer and a receiver of top communication and leadership awards, Cloris reaches every corner of the world through her popular personal development blog and Magnificent Time, her inspirational radio show. With her new book coming in June, Magnificent Married or Not, Cloris continues fulfilling her calling to help people realize their magnificence. We are talking today about how to love your mind. So welcome, Cloris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for that really nice introduction.
I'm incredibly excited about this series because, you know, February is the month of Valentine's Day, and, you know, that's all about giving and expressing love to other people. I feel that February can be cold, it can be dark, often people feel down. The energy just doesn't move as well as it does in the spring or the summer. And it's a great time to really come into a retreat, a little bit of a hibernation, and remake ourselves and give ourselves some, you know, comfort and nurturing. And what better place to begin working on our inner lives than with our minds? So you are an expert on reprogramming beliefs and techniques that, you know, people can use to improve their lives. So I'm wondering, you know, is there a secret to beginning to work with our energy that can help uplift us and help us feel clear and excited and focused going forward this year?
Well, yes, well, definitely. I mean, it's not really a secret. It's something that I think all of us know intuitively, but really have not learned how to apply. And it's all about energy, really. I'm going to give you an example based on what you said at the beginning of the show. You mentioned how February can be a month in which we're sad, we tend to be, you know, we're too cold, and just expecting it to be kind of a dreary month, right? Especially if we're here in the Northeast or anywhere where there's a winter season, really. And if you think about it, that is something that you probably heard when you were just a little girl. Everybody would just complain about the winter and say, oh, we're sick of it and the snow again. And all of that information actually created a picture of this month in your mind and in many people's minds, really, that makes it something to dread. Oh, no, it's winter. Winter is coming. And I actually hear people in September, which is one of the most beautiful months, at least here in Connecticut, saying, yeah, it's nice, but winter is coming. So they are expecting winter to be a season of discomfort, a season in which they'll get sick. So all those expectations really create a reality. And it's about
that's really quite interesting, because what you're saying is they're not enjoying that beautiful fall foliage of New England, which is where you live, and they're not they're not in the moment. They're living sometime in the future.
Exactly. Yes. And the most important thing is that future that they're living in, it really is a future they don't want. So they're placing all of their attention something that they don't want. And guess what? They're going to get what they don't want.
So what does that do to how they feel right then? I mean, is it altering their nervous system? Is it making them sick? What's happening to them?
Well, this is what's happening. The universe really is energy. Everything you see, everything that you cannot see even, is energy. So you align yourself with a certain energy vibration. And this is something that is not just, a New Age thing. It's something that is actually scientific and that's part of quantum physics, and I've had a lot of guests on my radio show talk about it. So it's basically you align yourself with a certain form of energy, and you attract those things that are in the same energy field. And let me talk to you a little bit about some experiments that David Hawkins did years ago. This was something that he did for 20 years. He did what he calls a kinesiology experiment. That means kinesiology is the study of how the body responds to emotions, to any stimulus. So they tested emotions, they tested people, they tested events in life. And basically when something is true, then you become stronger, the body becomes stronger. And when something is false, then the body becomes weak. And that way he created a scale that goes from 0 to 1,000 to calibrate all of those things and to really see in which area of that spectrum of energy we were. So negative emotions calibrated really low, and high energy emotions such as happiness and good expectations calibrated really high. So basically, if you are in a low energy field, you're angry, you're sad, you're expecting the worst, well, all the things you can attract into your life are things of the same nature. That's basically what it is. It's like trying to listen to FM radio, but you have your radio tuned in to AM radio. There's no way you're going to listen to that show.
Right. It's like, I want to be happy. I want to be happy.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is a matter of aligning yourself with what you want. And sometimes, actually, we think we are aligning ourselves just because we want to make something happen, but sometimes it doesn't happen, and we ask ourselves, what's wrong then? And I'm sure that has happened to you. It's like you really want to make something happen, and somehow it just doesn't come true. And what happens is that we're focusing on not having whatever it is that we want. We have a negative emotion attached to it. I'm a coach, so I see a lot of people who have lost their jobs, and they really want to get a new job, but all they're focusing on is how sad they are because they lost their job and how the job market is really tough. So guess what? You know, time goes by, they cannot really find that job.
Right, and then if they do go on an interview, they're probably all mopey and assuming that they're not going to get it, and then that probably taints their chances. It's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, is what you're saying.
It is, and what happens is it happens at a subconscious level. That's why I focus on reprogramming the subconscious mind. So it's something that it's not a conscious thought that you're having. You're not going to that interview saying, oh, this is going to be hard, I'm not going to get this job. It's just something back, you know, in the back of your mind that you don't even realize that it's happening.
So do we have to work hard to clean those thoughts out, or do we have to, you know, work hard to construct, you know, some new version of ourselves? You know, is it hard to reprogram your subconscious mind?
Well, it's not really hard. The process is actually very simple. And it, again, it's something that I have explored on my own and with my guests. And I guess one of the most important things to start with is to be aware. The awareness process is one of the most important things. And you know, you could ask Eckhart Tolle, and he would say, yeah, awareness is the solution to get rid of your ego. Well, it's also the solution to reprogram your subconscious mind. Because what happens sometimes, you catch yourself having that emotion or that thought that just doesn't feel good, right? So you think something, you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's this very, very subtle feeling. So if you're aware of that, then you can say, oh, well, something is not right. I'm thinking something that is just not aligned with that high energy field. And then you reframe that thought that comes to you at that moment. And there's something I always say. I have this quote by Wayne Dyer. It says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Oh, yeah. It's a variation of something that was said by one of the early quantum physicists, when they were doing experiments. Sure.
Right.
The observer effect, I think they call that, right?
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're reframing your thought, looking at it under a new light. And once you do that, though, you have to make sure that thought it's actually believable, because what happens when you don't believe what you're saying, you're just saying words that really mean nothing to you.
Yes.
And you won't be able to really change what is in your subconscious.
Okay, so let's go back through these steps, because I'm actually quite fascinated by the very first step, which is you have to notice what you're feeling, right?
Right.
Now, that's powerful, because sometimes, you know, we get so used to not feeling good that we skip it. Like, we skip over it, or we feel not good, and so we don't want to focus on it at all. We want to move past it and suppress it and get away from it.
Right.
You know, is there a you know, a special practice to becoming aware? I mean, to catching it quicker?
Yeah, I would say it's something that happens with the time. I didn't used to be good at it at all. And now I immediately catch myself, though, when I have a negative thought. I go, oh, there I go again. It's something that happens with practice. So I would say it helps to have some time for stillness and to really feel what you're feeling. A lot of people go into this automatic mode all day. You have just so much going on, and most of us do. So we go from one activity to the next, and we might be feeling pretty crummy, but we just keep going because we got to get everything done and everything on the to-do list or the calls and the emails. So we really live an unconscious life. So sometimes it's good to just take a step back and then give yourself the time you need to really feel your emotions and to be in touch with them. And, again, it's something that you develop as you grow spiritually and personally. It'll happen. It's just a matter of doing it, and the more you do it, then the better you become at it.
Yeah. I bet people become way more masterful at lifting themselves out of, you know, down. You know, it's like a downward spiral. You know, once you get on that circle, you're just going down the drain. But then, you know, you have to spiral back up too, right? I mean, you know, feel a little bit better. You know, it's not like you're gonna necessarily go from being thoroughly depressed, like you can't get out of bed, to, you know, well, woo, I'm on the top of a roller coaster. You know, like, you know, you're just gonna feel a little bit better. You know, and then a little bit more better, and then a little bit more better, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
so that's kind of like raising your energy, right?
That's basically what it is. You're going up that energy scale. You're going from, and what I tell people usually, the lowest you can be is in a state of shame, guilt, or hopelessness, right? That's the lowest on the scale. So if you can raise yourself just a little bit, for example, anger. Anger calibrates a little bit higher than shame and guilt. So if you can get out of that feeling of being a victim and life is treating you poorly, and you can make yourself maybe angry at what's going on. It's like, oh, this is not right. This is not my life. And it's okay. When you get angry, you raise your energy level. And then you replace that anger with something a little bit better. And then at some point, you'll reach a point of neutrality.
Hmm.
And that's when you can start going up even more and more, until you reach the really like the top of the high energy where you really want to be.
So by sitting still and giving yourself a time out, you know, during the day maybe, to feel your feelings, you don't suppress them. You let them move through you, right?
That is right. You should never suppress a feeling. You have to be aware of it, because the feeling is really telling you something. The feeling is telling you you're not aligned with your truth. You're not aligned with where you want to go or what you want to be. And it's a really powerful sign for you to know what to do next. So that's why it's so important. And it's something I've been studying, the teachings of Abraham and Esther Hicks lately. I think it's fascinating. And the message is basically the same message in quantum physics. That once you have that negative thought, if you continue focusing on it, then you'll reach what they call momentum. So it's a big momentum toward negativity. But if you stop it once it starts, if you're aware of it, then you can replace it with a different feeling and then turn things around.
I find that fascinating. And just from internal experience of my, you know, subjective reality of my life, I find that to be true. You know, and I'm
yes,
sure that's an I'm sure that's an experiment that people can run for themselves, right?
Oh, definitely. And it's something that I actually wanted to do with you today, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
We could start by focusing on one of those negative things that you recognize in yourself, maybe in the past or in the present would be even better. So you could think about it for a few seconds and just tell me what that is. And then we can, and everybody who's listening, of course, do the same. And then we can practice on, you know, replacing that thought or that emotion with something a little bit better.
So being that it's, you know, February, I'm focused on my health. And, you know, I caught myself thinking, you know, oh, I'm not going to be able to keep up with, you know, my healthy eating. Oh, I'm going to give in to temptation. Oh, you know. There's just this anxiety. It's, you know what it is? It's like worrying. It's like
okay.
Worrying that I'll make a bad choice.
Now, do you actually make this bad choice?
Sometimes. Yes. You know, like I just have to, you know, I need something salty. I have to have a bag of potato chips. You're hearing
okay.
My true confessions now, by the way. salt and crunchiness, anyway.
Well, you know what you can do is say, because you are associating the potato chips with something bad, basically, right? You're saying potato chips are bad.
Well,
so
that's the problem, because they're sort of like, I want them. They're going to make me happy. Like, that's what I say, you know. But then I beat myself up, like, you know, why don't I have it more self-control?
Right. Okay. So after the fact, then you feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I would say, I mean, how can you make a turnaround into something a little better? Well, first of all, you could say, well, I feel like having potato chips. My body is telling me something, right? So be grateful for that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That you're actually, you know, you have some sort of a clue from your body that you need something. Maybe you do need the salt. Or maybe you are just externalizing something that is happening. Maybe you're working too hard and you need a break. Then you see the potato chips as a way to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a sign that something needs attention. It could be a physical need or just something that you need to take some time off, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can, that's when the awareness comes in, and then you ask yourself, so why do I want these potato chips? And if it's really a physical need, then you can go ahead and have your potato chips. You can maybe replace them with sweet potato chips or something that is a little bit healthier and not feel guilty about it. Or if you recognize that the need is due to something else, then just work on that instead. But
so what you're saying, so you're kind of saying, you know, like stop for a minute and go, what do I need? What is this a message about?
That's right. Yeah, and welcome the message. Be grateful for it. Don't see it as, oh, no, I want the potato chip again. And then beat yourself for it.
Oh, no, it's those potato chips again. I love what you said. Be grateful. Be grateful. I think gratitude
right.
is just such a high energy state, is it not?
It is. It is. And it's actually something important that you can do to raise your energy vibration is to start every day by being grateful for life. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You might be having really terrible circumstances. But when you wake up, you say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being alive. And if there are some great things going on, then, of course, say thanks for that, too. But, yes, gratefulness is important not only when you wake up, but right before you go to bed, when you're ready to reprogram that subconscious mind during your sleep, it's very important that you also express gratitude.
I love it. You're calling this a turnaround, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. That's right. It is a transformation. You're going a certain way, which is, it's basically a path. So imagine this road, right? You're going on the road, but then somehow you're going in the direction that takes you away from where you want to be. So all you have to do is follow the same road, but in the opposite direction. That's all it is. It's not like something is good or bad. It just takes you away from where you want to be or closer to where you want to be, and just follow that path.
I love it. I feel like this is mental Tai Chi, you know. I'm not a practitioner, but my understanding is that when someone comes towards you, your opponent or your competitor or whatever comes towards you, instead of pushing back, you receive their energy and then you turn it in a new direction, you know. So it's not, so if life is throwing, you know, balls at you, instead of trying to hit it back like it's a tennis match, like, no, don't come here. resist. You know, you let the energy come in, and then instead of, you know, well, maybe it could pass through you, that would be lovely, but, you know, come in, and then you go, what do I do with this? Oh, whoosh, let's go over here.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it seems like a very graceful kind of way to live, almost like a dance or a, you know, but definitely, yeah. I remember once, Cloris, I went to a workshop with Hale Dwoskin, who teaches the Sedona Method. He's one of the guys that I edited. But by the way, listeners, I was helping Cloris with her book, which is why I got excited about having her on this call. What he had people do is stand in partners, and we put our hands up against our partner's hands, and we would take turns pushing. And you would, if you allowed them to push on you without resisting, what actually happened is your hands end up getting balanced in the middle. You'd think you would just be moving backwards and backwards, but if they're not if you're not resisting them, they're not resisting you. You end up in the middle, and it feels good, you know. That, you know, just having that physical experience of that was quite interesting.
I thought
all the people that I think are gonna like barrel over me if I'm a nice person. You know, and you don't get barreled over. Everybody relaxes.
that is true. I mean, I actually did the same exercise in one of the courses I taught. I teach courses on happiness and manifestation, and I did that exercise actually with a group.
Did you? And how was it fun to watch as a teacher?
It was a lot of fun, yes. And the interesting thing, though, is that nobody really was forceful. Like, everybody just understood that they didn't have to exert a lot of force, just kind of let it be, and that would be the happiest middle, I guess, for everybody. So I think, you know, all of us intuitively want to be happy and want to be in that happy medium.
So that is really interesting. You're saying that you think this is what people want. People want to feel good.
We all want to feel good. When we feel good, we're really feeling close to our true nature, which is all happiness and goodness. And the feeling good, though, is one of the most important things that you can do to manifest your desires. Because we've talked about how we have to reframe our thoughts, right? And we said it has to be reframed into a thought that sounds believable to us. Mm. But also, that thought has to feel better than the feeling that we had before.
And or at least neutral.
At least neutral, yes. And then once we get to that feeling really, really good, that's when it becomes part of our reality. It becomes part of our subconscious mind. And, I mean, there's this old Chinese proverb that says, I hear, I forget, I see, I remember, I do, I understand. Mm. So doing is really feeling. So when you feel something, the psychic has already manifested, that's when you understand it. That's when it becomes part of your reality, and you can actually make it happen. And it'll happen in ways that you're not even aware of. Like one morning, you might just wake up and feel like you want to go to the gym for no reason, because you've been focusing on health. So it'll translate into actions and thoughts that you sometimes don't even know where they came from, but they come from your reprogramming.
The brain is plastic, meaning it can be reshaped and you can build new neural networks and repetition of ideas over time, you know, grow stronger pathways. So you literally can reprogram your brain. You build a new brain, you know, which is fascinating.
You can. It is fascinating. Yeah, one of my guests talked about neuroplasticity. Her name is Millie Greneau, and she wrote all these tips to really get rid of the stress in a very quick manner, and it actually works for her. She's been able to help people in the military who had post-traumatic stress disorder with these little, like, short exercises that really get them out of the, I guess, that feeling of anxiety and grief, I guess, after the experiences that they have gone through.
And the trauma must be very extreme. So that's powerful if they're working quickly.
That's right. That's right. And it is possible for everybody, though. It's not, because I know that some of the people who might be listening might be saying, oh, that's nice, but in my situation is just too extreme or too hard, or I just feel that I cannot get out of this negative loop. But I think all of us can make it happen. It might require more work in some situations, but it can happen for everyone.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your book, Magnificent Married or Not. You came to your realizations through your own hard awakening, a painful divorce experience, and you since have been helping people, and you've written this book about it, which is coming out in a couple of months. So can you describe a bit of your journey that led you to become so expert in mental reprogramming and conscious living?
Yeah, well, I think, Stephanie, it has to do with, remember when we said that it was just our innate desire to feel good and to be happy? Well, there's always tugging in the back of our hearts and our head. We want to be happy. And I went through this really long period of not being happy, of being so sad and just hopeless about my situation. I felt like a victim for a while. And I was just tired of feeling bad. And it took a long time. But then one day I said, you know, this is not what my life is supposed to be like. I have to do something to get out of it. And one of the first things I did was actually help other people who were going through a similar situation. And I found myself giving them advice, which actually helped me. I was able to give them advice, and then I would ask myself, so how come I'm not doing what I'm saying this person that he or she should do?
And were you getting evidence from them changing that it would work for you?
Yes, everybody started to say, you know, you should write a book, Cloris. And not only did I feel good about myself for helping these people, but I said, well, you know, maybe I can help even more people. And I actually started to practice those pieces of advice in my own life, and they worked. They worked. And the turnaround has been just so dramatic, because this is not something that happened 10 years ago. I mean, my divorce was final in April of last year. So it hasn't even been a year. And it has been a really quick healing process, and my ability to just, you know what we talked about, the momentum? I got into that positive momentum, and I just kept growing and growing. And once it grows, you know, nothing can stop it, really, because it's too powerful to be stopped.
Well, you seem to be having a pretty good life. I mean, last week you were in Maui, and you know, since I've known you, you've traveled twice, I think, and we haven't even known each other that long. So that sounds pretty good. One of the things that I love about your book is that you've organized it into some of the chapters are organized into different feeling states, sort of like we've been talking about, where you really talk about some affirmations for each feeling. I don't know if listeners know what affirmations are. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, affirmations is, when I think affirmations, I think of Louise Hay, actually, because that's the core of her message. It's basically saying something that identifies you instead of the negative emotion or thought. So, for example, and this applies to any situation. It doesn't have to be a divorce situation. It could be the loss of a job or just probably health problems that you might be having. And then you're saying, I am sad, I'm discouraged, this is not going to work out. Then you replace that with a thought that is different. Again, it's the whole reframing strategy that we talked about before. So instead of saying, I am sad, this is never going to work out, then you say, well, today I'm feeling a little better and I'm grateful that I am alive. And you change those thoughts, that's basically an affirmation. And the interesting thing is when you say I am, right, I am happier, I am grateful, then you're identifying yourself with that. So if it seems true to you as you say it, then it becomes your new programming in your subconscious mind. See? So that's what it is.
So that's how we end up creating our reality, whether it's good or bad. It's because we identify with something, is what you're saying.
Yes, we identify with it. Everything that we identify with becomes the truth, basically. That's what it is, because we're making it part of that subconscious mind, which is really, really powerful in ways that now is when we're starting to discover, though, because it is extremely powerful. So powerful that we can create the life that we want now. It doesn't have to be tomorrow or in 10 years. It can be here now, just by thinking, by changing the thoughts that we have on a day-to-day basis.
So, so where do we begin? Do we have to make some kind of commitment that we're going to align ourselves with higher energy? You said for yourself that you were like, I'm feeling bad. I've been feeling bad for a long time, and I'm tired of this. I want something else. Like that, there has to be some kind of like breakthrough moment, doesn't there?
Yes, and then the breakthrough moment, though, could be a long series of moments, because it could be like one day you feel like you're ready to go into that direction, but then the next day you take a step back. So I would say being patient with yourself is important. But once you have that first thought that says, this is not right. There's something that I can do to change my situation. That's a start. So just focus on that and be patient along the way. And then, of course, you have to be ready for that change. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes there's a period that needs to go by in which you experience grief or whatever emotion it is that you have to experience. And that's when you're ready. Because, you know, you know what they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, at some point, you'll see the message. Because you're going to see a lot of people, it doesn't matter how many books they read and how many webinars they listen to, they still have the negative emotions because they're not ready. So they'll be ready at some point.
My sister goes to these jewelry making classes in her neighborhood. And she said, I asked her, how was your class last weekend? And she said, oh, my God, I was sitting next to an Eeyore. You know, in the Winnie the Pooh books, Eeyore is the, like, mopey.
He's
always complaining. Yeah, so there are definitely Eeyores in the world, you know, who they don't want to be happy. They really like, they're happy being unhappy, it seems, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. But then, you know, you just have to probably, switch to, you know, hang out with a different type of person. Because I think we do feed from each other, though. And then I think I'm a firm believer that whoever you spend time with should be someone that you either want to be like or that you really love and, you know, you really enjoy their company.
So surround yourself with uplifting people is a great tip. You know,
oh, definitely.
I feel very fortunate. You know, I get to talk to you, the listeners get to hear you, and this message is so uplifting. You know, there's something uplifting to me about the idea that there is an active skill that we can develop that can make our lives better. You know, this is a proactive tool you're describing, and it's something that is innate to every human being.
That's right. And it is available to all of us right now. It's just a matter of tapping into that power and just deciding to do it. And again, you might not be ready today, but you will be ready tomorrow maybe, right? So that's a positive affirmation.
Sure. And so an affirmation like that is believable. You know, so you said you have to believe it, right? So the new thought, the new affirmation, you know, if you can make it true enough, even if it sounds small, it's a small step or a slight reframe, you know, like, you know, I am getting ready to be happy in the future, you know, or, you know, today I will be nice to myself even though I'm feeling miserable, you know, whatever, right?
Exactly, yes. And what you can do is to start paying attention to those things that reinforce your affirmation. So let's say that you want to feel better, you're trying to lose weight and you cannot do it. So then you say to yourself, you know, maybe I'll be able to lose this weight. So then the next day, you go and you're at the cafeteria and then you select the broccoli instead of the mac and cheese. And then you go, you know, I made a better selection. Maybe I can really lose this weight. And then you focus on that and then just pay attention. Place all of your attention on things that reinforce your affirmation. And then you'll see how it becomes your reality.
I love that. And I love that it's something we can do every day of our lives. You know, it's not like, you know, the end of the movie with the freeze frame and the smiling people. It's like, no, you're going to, you know, life is going to continue moving forward. Stuff's going to happen. You're going to have some challenges. You're going to get surprised. And, you know, this is a process of loving your mind so that you can love your life, you know, to get back to my theme, which is, you know, which is really what, you know, what we, if we are mindful and we take care of our minds and our bodies and our spirits, you know, we're going to have a better life. And the results are going to be evident.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what it is. And it is a truth. It's not, again, it's not a story. It's just something that you can test yourself. Just, I encourage everybody who's listening to just do a little experiment and just focus on that, those things that will prove to them that their new affirmation is right and see how it actually changes. So it could be anything that you want to make happen. Just focus on that for one day and you'll see how much better you feel about it and how you're ready to think a thought that makes you feel even better the next day.
So you've been challenged, listeners. I want you to do it for the next 24 hours or tomorrow, you know, when you wake up. You know, you're looking for evidence, you know, how would you describe it? Say it again.
You're looking for evidence that your new affirmation, the whatever thought you have that is going to replace that negative thought, really is happening. And you'll find the evidence. You will.
I just came up with my thought, by the way. It's, I can trust myself.
Beautiful.
To make good choices. To, you know,
to know, you know, what's the right thing in the moment. And that makes me relax, actually. That feels like that place in the middle that we were talking about with the pushing, you know. I don't have to push against that, because if I can trust myself, then I don't have to plan ahead. Because I can trust myself to know what to do in the moment that it arises. And then I'm boom, solid in my center. It feels good.
There you go. Yeah, so it's all about feeling good. Yeah,
that really helped me, Cloris. Thank you. I'm looking, and that's going to be my experiment. So I'm not just going to do it for one day. I'm going to do it for the whole month of February. So I just want to let people know that you can visit Cloris's website, which is ClorisKylie.com, CLORISKYLIE.com. And on her website, you can sign up to get a free meditation guide and some regular news from her. And there's also a link there that will take you to her Magnificent Time radio show archives and let you know what future episodes are coming up on her radio program. And her radio show is, it's weekly, is that correct?
Yes, it is weekly, and we have pretty exciting guests coming up. So, yeah, I definitely encourage everybody to visit and to listen and to just give your feedback, because, you know, that's I want to bring people to the show that really are wanted, people who can really make a contribution. So if you have a suggestion for a guest, then please let me know.
Great. So I know that you also have an upcoming course coming that's on faith. Is that in the near future?
Yeah, near future, yeah. And I would say in about 6 weeks I'm going to start a series of courses. Some of them are geared toward being happy now, basically. That's the title of the course, Be Happy Now.
And, oh, I love that.
yeah, so it's about reprogramming the subconscious mind and taming the forces of the ego, which is basically, you know, the same thing, they're interrelated. And then I'm going to give a course on communication skills. There's another one on manifesting your desires. So a lot of good things coming up. So if you subscribe to my newsletter, then you'll see, you know, you'll get special offers and a lower
price.
Yeah,
so you can. So the beauty is, you know, your website is your hub of information, and you know, Cloris obviously knows a great deal about her subject matter, and you know, I'm so excited for you that you have your book launching in a couple of months. So people should be on the lookout for that in June. And that title is Magnificent, Married or Not. And I think that the information there is great for people who are recovering from a breakup. But I think the information in there is also good for all people who want to work with themselves internally to be happier, to be happy with who they are in whatever, you know, relationship status you are. You know, particularly around Valentine's Day, if you're not feeling happy about your relationship situation, you know, you could feel challenged. This is a great month if you're feeling challenged in that area, to take a little better care of yourself, which we should all learn to do. So I want to thank you, and you have been a tremendous guest. So helpful. Is there any final word that you'd love to give to the listeners?
Well, first I want to thank you, Stephanie, for this opportunity. It really is a blessing to be here today. And I want to say to everybody that you're all magnificent. I always say we have two choices in life. We can live an unconscious life, or to be conscious of our magnificence and live the life, our life, with that perspective, that we're just great. We're awesome. So have an awesome month, and I look forward to listening to the other guests you'll have on this webinar.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.